morning, y'all. We are we're at 10:31, so I'm going to go a little slow. I'm glad you're all here. Welcome to our contemplative service, the last Sunday of the month. Good morning, friends. Hi. While people are still trickling in, I'm going to make a quick plug and announcement, and then I will introduce myself. I just want you guys to know about an upcoming class that will start July 14th. So I'm going to read you a little something here. So this upcoming class is called God in the Rocks. Once upon a time, a small Jewish boy went to his rabbi and said he didn't know how to love God. "How can I love God when I've never seen him?" asked the boy. "I think I understand how to love my mother, my father, my brother, my little sister, and even the people in our neighborhood. But I don't know how I'm supposed to love God. I can't even see God." The rabbi looked at the little boy and said, "Start with a stone. Try to love a stone. Try to be present to the most simple and basic thing in reality so that you can see its goodness and its beauty. And then let that goodness and beauty come into you. Let it speak to you. Start with a stone." The boy nodded with understanding. The story goes on to tell some other things, but this concept and idea is, you know, so many of us are desiring and rushing to want to, you know, get into the arms of Jesus and the arms of God and have this great big relationship. And all along the way, we can pass people and things and stuff that have been created through the Christ. And if we can't even love the most basic, how do we ever assume that we're going to love the divine? And so starting Saturday, that's a lie, starting on Sunday, July 14th at 8:30, before service, there will be a class. It's a $20 material fee. You get to walk home with some stuff as well. And the space is limited to 12 participants. And I will be your teacher for that class. So I hope that you can sign up on our website. You can sign up on the app as well. Thank you. I was just going to go out there and shut that door. Got a little loud out there. There's already two people signed up, so there's only 10 spots left. If you guys want to get on there, that would be great. Oh, is that my friend? Oh, sorry, guys. I got to give a quick hug. Hello. Oh. All right. Okay, so today's service, contemplative service, we are going to be looking at love and spending some time contemplating and sitting with this concept and idea of love. Before we do that, we need to be able to get into a state of receptivity. Another way of saying that might not be creepy to some of you is to be in a mindful state and a prayerful state, but we want to be open and receptive to all that the Spirit has for us. The alternative is that we're in a restricted state, and that's common. We come into church with thoughts and ideas about things we need to go do later or things that we should have done earlier. We have all these thoughts and emotions swirling in our minds and in our bodies and our hearts. And when we're in that state, it's really hard to receive from God. It's really hard to receive from the Spirit. We're reminded in the text that we are to be still. And it's in the stillness that knowledge comes, the knowledge of God. And so I'm going to invite you guys to follow along as you can, participate as we go down and in into some stillness. And then I'm going to present you with some things to think about today. Can we get my little fire going there too? Thanks. Who doesn't like a fireside? So I'd invite you to get as comfortable as you can, not so comfortable that you'll fall asleep unless you need it. Ideally, if it doesn't cause you pain or discomfort, you'd have both feet on the ground, fully grounded, sitting as upright as possible, again, without it causing pain. One of my teachers likes to remind us, like, imagine a string coming out of the top of your head and just kind of pulling your spine up a little. And if you're able to, I'd ask you to place your attention on the other side of the room. Just place your attention on the other side of the room. And then if you can bring your attention to the center of the room. And if you'd like to close your eyes, I invite you to place your attention on your breath. And just notice the spot where the air goes in your nostrils. There's a felt sensation there. It gets kind of cold. Let's do three really big, deep breaths. If you can keep your attention on the breath, that's fantastic. Just remember that our brains are designed to do all kinds of stuff, and it wants to do it all the time. So if you notice your brain starting to plan for later, just make a note and come back to your breath. There's no judgment. It's not good or bad. If your mind wanders, it just is. Make note of it and come back to your breath. Notice the quality in your body when you just spend time focusing on your breath. Can you feel the energy, the vitality? This is a great time to remind you of this beautiful Hebrew word, ruach. The word for spirit, the word for breath, the word for wind. When we slow down and put our attention on our breath, we are being still and we are acknowledging the divine. How do we ever expect to receive anything from God when we're holding everything so tightly close to us, our emotions, our thoughts? So the invitation is to breathe. The invitation is to let go. You're all human enough to know that all those things will be waiting for you when the service is over. I think most of you have been here when I've led a service. I love to do a chant with you. Please feel led to participate or just sit quietly and enjoy. But the chant goes, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still. Be Spirit of God, you are as close as our breath. There's nothing trivial or mundane about the breath. You are a giver of life. You are the author of life. You are the sustainer of life. One of my favorite pastors and mystics, Catherine Bergeau, reminds us that contemplation is wisdom received while the head is in the heart. Or another way of saying that, it's wisdom impregnated with love. I've come to understand that to participate in that beautiful concept of the head being in the heart, that it takes meditation, it takes mindfulness, it takes some stopping and pausing, and putting myself into a state of receptivity. And so this is the invitation for all of us, is to have fully present bodies today, to have curious minds. A curious mind thinks about things. It looks at different facets of the diamond. It suspends judgment. It suspends the desire to label something good or bad. It just is. And to have open hearts. And so, Ruach, Spirit of God, I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would keep our minds curious. Not coming to conclusions, but coming to more questions. I pray that those questions would lead us even closer to you, into the depths of your mystery. Give us open hearts, like conduits, hearts that can receive and can give. Creator God, forgive me for the times that I build a dam in that process, that I stop the flow of your goodness, of your love going through me. Forgive me, God, author of love, for the times that I don't show the very things that you so freely give to me. I thank you that your judgment is love. Not retribution. Come back to the breath for a moment. So if you guys can just stay in this state of receptivity, I'll use the phrase my teacher used, if you can just stay down and in, we'll give some time for us to contemplate some of these things that I present to you today. So we're entering into another chapter of division and anger and vitriol in the ongoing political saga that is the U.S. government. I'm sure just that statement alone, if you're down and in, I'm sure you felt the energetic charge in your body, maybe in your heart. But instead of getting swept up in it, in the drama, the emotion, let's place our thoughts on things of eternal value. And I'll remind you that empires come and empires go. And in the words of C.S. Lewis, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. So let's put our minds on things that are eternal. In one of John's letters, he makes a pretty incredible statement and claim. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Come back to your breath. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Allow your mind to be curious about that statement. Resist the temptation for that to be a statement about endorsing one religious doctrine or another. What does it mean to love? And here is the beloved disciple telling us, making this claim that if we do not love, then we don't know God, because God is love. So what is love? I'm sure you're all mature enough to know what it's not. It's not self-seeking. Doesn't come at the expense of others. If we don't know love, we don't know God. In another part of the text, in a different author, but dealing with the same topic, the same Christ, puts it a little bit different and gives us some characteristics. We're going to sit with a few of those today in contemplation. And the first is this. Love is patient. Love is patient. Let that permeate in your mind a little bit. Can you bring that thought into your heart, into your emotional center? Love is patient. Some of you in this room can crank through a to-do list. You can get stuff done. Can you bring that concept of love being patient into your body, into your somatic experience? That impulse that some of you have to go, go, go. I'd like you to remember a time, ideally something more recent, just for the freshness of the memory, but I'd love for you to think about a time when maybe you were causing chaos, or you were in the midst of chaos, and people were impatient with you. Is there a scenario like that? Where there's an outlier. Someone showed you patience more than you deserved in your mind, more than the situation called for. Can you remember being on the receiving end of loving patience? How did that make you feel? Love is patient. Can you think about that scenario and about that person? At that time, did you receive it as love? Did you know that it was love? Take note of those memories. Our brains are conditioned to hold on to negativity really quickly. And the positive, it takes some time. Our brains are like Teflon. So think about that time when somebody extended patience to you, loving patience, and the impact it made on you. Maybe the situation as a whole. Now I'd like for you to imagine a scenario that is presenting itself to you as of late. And with open hearts and curious minds, allow the Spirit to creatively give you ideas about what patience might look like coming into that scenario. How can you bring patience as a loving gift to your partner, to your families, your workers, your employees, your colleagues? What is patience? Loving patience look like in those scenarios? Are you bold enough to ask the Spirit to give you divine creativity? Seems like the kind of gift they like to dole out. Now, if you will, can you consider maybe some people not in your family circle or friends? Maybe it's the person at work who pisses you off. You know the one I'm talking about. and they make those comments. Maybe especially now with all the political crap, maybe they forward stuff to you. Is it a type of person, a group of people? What does loving patience look like? Might I be so bold as to say loving patience might just be holding your tongue? If we don't know love, we don't know God, because God is love. Love is patient. Can you spend a few moments thanking God, thanking the Creator for the patience that has been shown to you? Another characteristic that comes up in this particular letter from Paul is that love is kind. Love is kind. I don't know about you, but I'm not seeing a lot of kindness out there right now. Oh, there's pockets, and there are some fantastic, incredible people and communities. But as a whole, I would say kindness is on the decrease. Can you think of a time when somebody showed you kindness when you didn't deserve it? Maybe even specifically, can you think of a time when you were being fill in the blanks and you were met with kindness? And if for some reason you don't have a memory like that, have you witnessed one? Have you seen somebody rise to the level of love and kindness and choose to not respond to anger and vitriol in kind? Well, in kind likeness, but instead responded in love, gentle patience, kindness. What was it like to be on the receiving end or the witnessing end of that? I know none of the details of the stories you're thinking about, but I thank God for that person who showed kindness at that moment. And I hope that you do as well. Think about the life and teachings of Jesus. Just simply the way that he showed up for people. So kind. To notice people. So kind of him and so patient for him to notice people's conditions. We're told that when we see Jesus, that we know what God is like. Is there a scenario, a situation, a moment, a person that is inviting you to show up with kindness? Let's come back to the breath for a moment. I don't know about you guys, but I can get so caught up in some of these emotions idealistically about how it would be if we all showed up this way that it takes me out of the present moment. And the breath is always there reminding us to come back here, to come back now. But staying with open hearts and curious minds, what would it look like for you to bring kindness, loving kindness? What would that look like for you to bring that into those scenarios, into your workspace, into your relationships? And if anybody's figured out how to do kindness without patience, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. Friends, we all walk around with so much fear about one another, about what they're going to do or what are they not going to do. Or it's so hard to suspend judgment with all that fear. And again, the text reminds us that perfect love casts out fear. And earlier, we were reminded that if we don't know love, we don't know God, because God is love. There's no fear in God. There's no fear in love. But vulnerability, as we see in the garden and throughout the rest of the text, vulnerability is scary. And trust is hard. But patience, kindness, generosity, those things combat fear. They allow us to show up for one another. Another characteristic of love is that it doesn't dishonor each other. I have to confess to you guys that as much as I talk about the us and theming that we do, how it destroys us, my mind is so quick to dishonor the other, to label, to put them in a group, and assume so much about them. And in doing so, I don't recognize the Christ in them, and I'm not showing love. What I'm not saying is that there's a fiery pit of hell waiting for me if I don't do those things. But there is an invitation for us to show up as our best selves. Show up informed by the Christ. To show up with the Christ indwelled inside of us. Love does not dishonor. Friends, there's going to be many times this week and the next few months for you to participate in conversations that are super dishonoring to the other human being. And that's not a guilty statement. Again, it's not about a doctrinal position that you have to show up a certain way. But the world needs Christ. And it starts with recognizing the Christ in us and recognizing the Christ in others. Christ himself, Jesus himself, when he was on earth, made the statement that whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, can you think of these moments that are in front of you, where you will have opportunities to dishonor the other. Can you pause? Follow your breath for a moment. Get grounded. Remember patience, kindness. Otherwise, we're just walking around in a state of reactivity with one another, and we know what that looks like. Love does not keep a list of wrongdoings. I know I've mentioned this before, but it's very easy for my spouse and I to get into a tit-for-tat kind of list. It's easy to do that with our partners. It's easy to do that with colleagues, groups of people. If the divine center of the universe does not keep a list of wrongdoings, why in the world do we? I would suspect it's illusionary power that we want to control over others. That might be a different sermon. And so, friends, I want you to think about a time when you were on the receiving end of someone keeping a running list. They just let you know one more thing. One more thing that you haven't met their expectations with. How does that feel for you? Feels like an endless cycle, if we're being honest. How many of us do this with our relationship with God? Come back to your breath for a moment. Imagine what it would be like if you let go of your lists. How would the quality of your love towards others be if we dropped the lists, the pretense, the rebuttals? As Christians, I'm pretty sure that's what we celebrate at the table. If we don't know love, we don't know God, because God is love, and love keeps no record of wrongdoings, friends. This is what we celebrate at the table. Hallelujah. My list isn't being held against me. Friends, I hope today that you're able to see maybe a different facet of this concept of love. And there's no transaction that's happening that says if you don't love this way, that X, Y, and Z. It's a participation. It's an invitation an invitation for us to be the kind of human that Jesus was, loving the way that he did. Open hearts, guided by the Spirit, ideally changing the world one interaction at a time. That's why I'm still in the game. That's why I still believe. Because I've experienced patience, and so have you. I've experienced kindness. I've experienced grace. I've experienced forgiveness. The way that love goes, we know that. Can you come back to the breath? Before we make our way to the table to celebrate divine love, I'd like to lead you in one more little breath prayer, if possible. For most of you, this is a reminder. For those of you that are new, thanks for hanging in there. I hope that you're digging it. There's a story that goes something along the lines of from Richard Rohr. He talks about being with a scientist and a rabbi who shared with him that one of the only words you can say in Hebrew without moving your mouth is Yahweh. And in fact, it is the actual attempt to put words to the breath itself. And the implication is that we are in relationship with every breath. Let me show you. Sorry. I invite you to participate in this with me. So as you inhale, it's Yah, and as you exhale, Weh, and you can do it just as your breath, without moving your mouth. Practice that for a minute. The reminder is that God is as close as our breath. And the very first thing you said when you came into the world was the name of God. And the very last thing you'll do with your dying breath before you leave will be uttering the name of God. And he is as close as the breath. Reminds us in this practice that there's no Buddhist way of breathing, and there's no Muslim way of breathing, and Christian way of breathing, and Protestant, and Catholic, and Baha'i, and New Age. We're all breathing. We're all participating in the dance. Do you have a mind that is open to it? Do you have a heart that is open to it? Do you have eyes that can see it? Do you have ears that can hear it? Friends, that's the invitation. This is a participatory system. It's a participatory universe that we're in. And you can go with the flow, or you can create your own music and dissonance. And we know what that looks like. Can I have the ushers come forward for communion, please? Thank you. So friends, I'd like to stay in this contemplative state. Ideally, we're still down and in. We've been making our way towards this table. And this table is the physical representation of what we've been talking about today. In the table, we have Jesus making a new covenant, a new bond, a new deal with all of life, with all of humanity. It's one that allows us to participate in the natural flow of things, to participate in love, but the kind of love that would put itself up on a cross and allow the systems of the day and the definitions of the day and the flow of the day to kill it. But one of the things that we celebrate in the table is that resurrection is all around us. And so we participate in the life, death, resurrection cycle. And I believe the invitation as followers of Christ is that we get to do that now. We get to learn how to die to ourselves now. And in doing so, we open ourselves up. We become more like Christ. The ego slowly goes to the background. This is the goal. This is the way. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'd ask that you would come up. Oh, goodness. What are the... Come up these aisles, and then... I think you're supposed to go out that way, but that might... You might trip over James. So just be careful. How's that? So I'm going to pray for you guys. Feel free to take the cup and the bread when you'd like. I will get mine and sit here for a little bit, and once you're all seated, I'll pray again, but feel free to take it sooner than if you'd like. Let's pray. Creator God, maker of the universe, you're so freaking good. God, we want to continue to get tastes of that goodness while we're here with one another. May the Christ grow in us, that we might love more like you, that we might give generously more like you, give our time, our kindness, our love, that we would give forgiveness to those who desperately need it. God, I thank you that you keep no record of wrongdoing. I thank you that you're not some Zeus god with a lightning bolt waiting to jack us up every time we make a mistake. But I'm thankful that love considers the best for us, that it always has hope for us. I'm thankful that you're kind to us. I'm thankful that you're patient with us. I'm thankful that you love us. May we do the same, not because we ought to or because we fear punishment, but because we get to. We get to participate with you, moving this thing forward. Help us to evolve, God. Help us to grow. God, help us to see you in everybody and everything we come in contact with. And it forces us to live differently. Jesus, I'm thankful that you walked this earth, that you showed us what love looks like. Help us not to build dams and build walls for all the goodness that you have, not only for us, but for the entire world. God, I thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. As you guys feel led, come on up. So on the night that Jesus was handed over to the powers that be, they were in the middle of an old celebration, and it was a celebration where they were remembering deliverance. They were remembering a God that heard their cry, the Exodus story in particular. But Jesus flipped things up a little bit that night and said that we were going to be opening this thing up. And the celebration was going to take on some new meaning. And he offered it to everybody, not just a select group. And the offer is this, that when we participate at the table with the bread and with the cup, we are participating in the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. So, friends, what we learned about love today, what we sat and thought about love today, this is what we celebrate at this cup. And it does carry a tone of some honor there, that we get to not only participate, but that we get to keep the story going, and the story continues to grow, and it continues to impact, and it continues to speak against power, and it speaks against darkness, and it speaks on behalf of the Christ. So, Creator God, we thank you for the cup, we thank you for the bread, We thank you that you are a God that provides a good system and vines and grains that provide good substance for us. But beyond that, we thank you that we live in a system of shalom. That is totally not here yet, but we get a taste. And so we come to you, God, and ask that you would give us power to make the decision daily to choose shalom, to choose peace, to choose love, to choose resurrection. Can't do it on our own. We need you. We need each other. Amen. I forgot to tell you that it's gluten-free, by the way. That concludes our service, friends. If you want to stick around and stay in a state of contemplation or stay quiet, by all means do so. If you want to get out and chat and get the wiggles out, whatever you got to do, if you could head out that direction, that'd be great. Next week, next Sunday, we'll start our series on the Summer of Love, and you'll get us rotating teachers going through again. Remember, the last Sunday of the month is the contemplative service. It's not always like this, for those of you that might be wondering. Go in love. Go in shalom. Peace to you.